Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to the Raw Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dally Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamflett and Michael Sidgwick, here to look ahead to tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. I not only review Monday Night Raw, but right now, NXT Debate. Baby. As pay-per-views premium live events, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Hamflett and Sidgwick, so head to Monday Night Raw on the UK's somehow most popular wrestling podcast. And Sidge, I haven't had your chance to get your thoughts on the new honorary Oos, Sami Zayn. He's in action tonight against AJ Styles because there's some social media beef. But everyone was talking about what happened on SmackDown.
They made you feel internally like Sami Zayn feels, and how he feels is completely and utterly manipulated by this hugely megastar, charismatic top star in all of wrestling, Roman Reigns. It was kind of horrible the way that they just took the t-shirt off him, even for the eventual reveal. You never lost sight of the fact that who these people are and how much you want Sami Zayn to overcome, and he's doing this. And what he's doing is, with his incredible face, his incredible ability to act, which I don't think gets anywhere near enough credit, how he excels beyond that kind of wrestling acting context, his face, the hope, the fear, the desperation for approval, how pitiable he looked with that body just exposed without the t-shirt. And then when he gets the t-shirt and he's delighted and you think, I'm so happy for him, but when this actually happens for real, it's going to be devastating. Roman Reigns kind of cracking a little bit because he kind of knows how good this is, and he can smile in the context of the story, but I think that was a real smile on the face of the real human being, knowing how good this finally actually is. What I love about the Sami Zayn stuff right now, and just to be a dick about it, it's 1 million times better than the Jey Uso storyline, but, you know, by the by, it's that.
Although the new Jey Uso storyline is also better than the original Jey Uso storyline. So.
Take it off! The best thing about it is that I love a really well-plotted storyline when you know the destination. It's one of the best things because there's a, it's what I'm looking for, a bit of a sense of calm, a bit of a, you can look forward to it when you know it's going to have a good conclusion. And Triple H has earned, if nothing else, that much so far.
Yeah.
I don't know where it's going. There's two potential directions they could take this stuff, and I love them both. Either they mirror that scene, only they beat the piss out of him afterwards, and it's horrible and, you know, just unpleasant, and you earnestly hate the heels in this situation, which, as grown men and women and whatever, you shouldn't be able to do, but the magic of storytelling, even in the silly context of pro wrestling, will encourage you to do that. Or, over time, Sami, who is one of the best baby faces of the entire 21st century, all things considered, every bit of his run, his career, he could slowly begin to realize what's happening and then stand up for himself before the turn actually happens. Like, if they don't get a phenomenal Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn match out of this, they are hopeless, but I don't actually think they're hopeless. In fact, they are allowing me, hopefully, to fantasy book this. I've got ways this can go. What I would like to do is for Sami and Roman to have this incredibly dramatic like emotive match at a big pay-per-view, the Rumble or something like that. Sammy to lose cleanly and then get discarded. Kevin Owens comes out. Sami Zayn says something to the effect of, this is the part where you turn on me. Because in his head, that's what people do to him now. They turn on him. And it's Kevin Owens with all their history. And Sami says to Kevin, this is where you turn on me. I know what happens. And then Kevin says, no, this is the time where I team with you and we go on to beat down the Usos at WrestleMania. I would absolutely think that's great.
Mm.
And they are encouraging me to think very, very optimistically and to not even think but feel emotionally about the arc of Sami Zayn.
Mm.
This might be, honestly, on the back of that segment, the thing I earnestly care about most in wrestling right now. The stuff I think is better or of equal quality on AEW TV. But in terms of getting me on a gut emotional level, Sami Zayn did it on Friday.
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. We talked in long detail.
If you nice. Book it, I will come.
It's quite nice, isn't it? I actually said on the podcast, like, it's a storyline of such depth all of a sudden that we could all sit around and like have a roundtable style conversation about this. And I love Sidge specifically that without realizing it, we have not discussed this over the desks unusually. We've agreed on like two key things about like it's hard. I think if you watch that and you are even half plugged into WWE, it's hard not to acknowledge that as probably like the thing that you could feel most passionate about in all of North American wrestling at the moment, despite, as you say, a lot of like objectively quite good developments in AEW. That's the one that is suddenly pulling at your heart. It's the one that you're thinking about the most all of a sudden, not out of nowhere, but like from one big segment where they finally brought together a couple of things. Like it just feels nice. Zayn without his top off. Like with his top off, I said he like looked naked with his trousers on. He was that vulnerable in that moment. It was amazing.
His acting,
like,
how he used his body. Phenomenal.
I forgot to mention I was watching it with, or I showed it to my wife over the weekend, and she went, "Oh, I don't want to watch it. Are they going to turn on him?" And I went, "Not yet," because I can see where they're going. And either it will be Kevin Owens who eventually sides with Sami Zayn, or his new best friend Solo Sikoa, who's cornering him tonight against AJ Styles. Again, the intrigue as well, potentially, of walking past backstage this dream team of Owens and Gargano and Sami Zayn being like, "Hey, Kev, you see my new shirt?" or anything like that. But how do you see it going with AJ first and foremost?
So what is great that I hadn't even considered is, so I had like a pitch for something possibly overlapping, Triple H overlapping one or two things, which he's shown the ability to do thus far, and you've just suggested a third that I hadn't even considered. I thought about the prospect of this match. Obviously, AJ Styles hasn't got much going on, but the Judgment Day are now trying to use that to their advantage. Finn Balor specifically is trying to use that to his advantage. So I thought about the prospect of either Finn Balor as a just on his own or the Judgment Day separate to this. Like when Solo Sikoa helps Sami Zayn win to further enhance this bloodline bond that they're now having. Solo doing his job as the enforcer of the group, like immediately really well established, like what he is now to this group as well. Helping Sami win, make Sami feel on top of the world in his new role as the honorary use, while AJ kind of sulks off to the back, and then there with the Judgment Day to pick him up. I hadn't even considered the prospect that like both Owens and Zayn are now traveling their own sort of separate journeys with new tag partners, and there is absolutely the opportunity to do that. But yeah, I do assume that Zayn wins this tonight. It's a good night for the bloodline, kind of separate from where they do most of the business on SmackDown. And then maybe not out at the ring, but after the fact, Balor away from the Judgment Day just goes to like try and have a quiet word. So like, I know you're probably thinking last week that this is just me and my mates and we're a bunch of piss takers and you shouldn't trust us, but like if you had us out there, like look what it's done for Sammy having friends.
Mm.
Like you used
you to could have had our enforcer Dominic Mysterio.
But like you used to have friends. We both know what it's like to be surrounded by friends. Then he throws up the little Bullet Club thing and like all that sort of stuff. It's all very on the nose, but it's logical, and that's how Triple H works. He works in fierce logic, even if it's not the most fun. And I said this last week, I quite like the possibility of AJ Styles and the Judgment Day, either as AJ being this babyface that actually pushes them back, or maybe joining. That's funny. Like there's something funny about goth AJ as well. So I like this development. Styles had no else going on. I think this is potentially good use of the two things.
What I want from this, because I'm quite cruel, but I also think it's the most dramatically effective way to tell this story. I don't really care about this match, ultimately, even though it should be of a high standard, is you want Sami Zayn to be happier than a pig in shit about his new role, his new status, his new connection, and you want him to have that beaming smile on his face. I want to do the whole, oorah, super kicks, Spears just basically be the most bloodline version of Sami yet. Win. Do continue to do that over the next however many weeks before the cracks will reappear, because that's just how you tell the story. But I need that contrast of, you know, the Festival of Friendship, which is the other great thing that WWE did this century.
Mm-hmm.
Just, can you remember Chris Jericho's face when he was on the Tron with a video presentation and his hands, he's doing the jazz hands, and he works the biggest smile on his face.
Yes.
Knowing that, seeing this idiot so happy, so full of glee and wonder for the contrast of him crestfallen. You need that contrast. And if you can prolong that contrast by having Sami Zayn win and be happy and feel really a part of it when he's just being used, that contrast is key to the true devastation, which Sami Zayn's going to be able to sell immaculately well. So this needs to be a Sami victory. You can transition it into Judgment Day stuff all you like, but a nice, clean-ish
yes,
just way.
I really like the touch of him adding, for want of a better phrase, Samoan offense into his arsenal. A Samoan drop, that hip charge in the corner thing yeah. that the Usos, and I think Sakura actually does that as well.
The splash from the top rope that Sakura does and Rikishi's done and the Usos do. Like, it's not very...
Do the hacker, but yeah.
It's such an un-Sami Zayn move to do like a big splash from the top rope. He's like a slight guy, really, isn't he? You know, he's quite lean, comparatively speaking, to like Samoan wrestlers. So being able to like come off the top rope with a splash and like giving Solo the nod at ringside.
Trying his level best to like pretend that his head doesn't hurt.
Yes.
If he gets like headbutt yes. or something like that. It's like, oh no.
Charging up his taped fist without the glove on it.
Yeah.
Sort of stuff.
Get him a lay to wear to the ring. I completely agree with you, by the way, that we need a clean finish in this one, because the next match we're going to talk about, slightly concerned, is going to be really good. But at the end of it, when we review it tomorrow, I'm going to go, what a fantastic match, Sidge. And then, obviously, all the damaged Qatar people getting involved. Because it's Bianca Belair, Raw Women's Champion, against Io Sky, Women's Tag Champion, in fact. Which is obviously another step on the road towards Bayley versus Bianca Belair at Extreme Rules in a few weeks.
Yeah, this is literally one of three matches that's been announced thus far where I can absolutely see there not being a good finish. Screwy finish isn't necessarily automatically a bad finish, but we talked about this on the Dynamite review.
Yeah.
If you continue to do it over and over again, it just completely loses effect. And it's the age-old thing. The millennial audience, and I'm not saying that WWE nor AEW should continue catering heavily to the most numb among us, but are also the most loyal, obviously. But we all know that it's the booker doing this because it's a storytelling, predetermined world. And if you keep doing it, I just think worse of Triple H as opposed to damage Katoro for cheating. This match should be of a great standard. I'm actually really looking forward to it. But again, until they... And this is not something I'm fully expecting, because Triple H did this quite often at his peak as an NXT booker as well. It's just how he was trained in the world in which he came up. And, you know, that world won and beat everyone handily. So why would he change? But I am not expecting a neat and satisfactory finish to this.
Yeah, Triple H is... I've given him praise for tons of stuff, but he's getting away with murder with this women's division at the moment. The matches on SmackDown, and matches is really important, because one of the reasons he's getting away with murder is simply because of presence. Like, WWE have had the advantage in that regard for a long time, because just typically they feature women more. But just because it's not the same problem as AEW, it doesn't mean that it's not a different problem. They have a bigger division, and they've shown in the past that they can show great care to that division, so they probably should. Their finish is on SmackDown. The finish to the Damage Katarl and
Raquel Rodriguez,
thank yeah. you, like distraction roll-up, basically. Absolutely piss poor after like 90 seconds, 2 minutes of a match, whatever it was. No good. Absolutely no good, no matter if you're featuring these wrestlers as tag team champions across both brands or not. Liv Morgan, like, getting mostly chewed up by Lacey Evans just so you can do the big table spot at the end. Like, they got the message across eventually, but it was the worst possible way to execute it. And then last week on Raw, it was just Bayley and Alexa Bliss. I think that was the only match. And it was an overlong main event that was, like...
In there too long.
Like, it was bad more than it was good. There was like a hot couple of minutes at the end, but that was about it. And he's kind of just getting away with it because he's brought a lot of favourites back. He's featuring people that, to be fair, should have been in key spots before now. But the health of the division doesn't feel that much greater with him in charge. This should be a great match. But if you don't get a finish, I think it's all been for naught. Like, to Cedric's point, the fact that it would feel fake if there's like a distraction roll-up or a DQ or something like that, undermines anything you're supposed to think about a Bianca Belair or an Io Sky. Bayley's group is supposed to feel like a threat. Like, they're a ludicrous stable by design, really, because it's not... There's a retribution adjacent quality to the idea. Oh, they're kind of like they wreck everything. They don't really. They're just baddies.
Yeah. You
know, they say that they're wrecking everything, but then they'll win some and they'll lose some. And that, you know, like they don't feel like it's there's not an air of danger when they come out. They're just baddies. And that's all right. It's okay to be baddies, but then what they're saying they are and what they actually are two totally different things. And Triple H hasn't really tried to circle the square there yet. So I'm looking forward to the quality of this match, but I just feel like I won't be asked to care about it. So it's just not part of it. Like, Bayley and Bianca Belair is the story. That's the match. This is a delay to that rather than a good match, because there's a reason to have a good match.
Yeah, I don't see this. I see many different resolutions to this match, and none of them are a clean finish. It could be Alexa Bliss and Asuka get involved, and they make it a six woman.
Sick of that and all. That's proper 2015. Hey, you've got three friends. Well, I've got three friends. Yeah, same stuff.
Or it could be an errant weapon shot or whatever it may be, or a distraction, or
What should happen? It was Stephanie McMahon's birthday over the weekend, so maybe there's three wrestlers waiting in the wings, and we can pay tribute to when she invented women's wrestling and bring up another trio.
Good point. One thing we can guarantee on tonight's Raw is more White Rabbit stuff, more teasers, quite possibly. On SmackDown, we had another QR code as part of that Hit Row party thing that they, for some reason, kept going back to. And you're a rabbit in a maze and a door, and then there's the word patricide, and then there's the coordinates, which is Roger's place in Edmonton, Alberta, where Raw is going down tonight. Presumably more teasers for... if not the arrival of Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, the hype has lessened somewhat in that the tease from Monday was just for SmackDown rather than for the return of Bray, which has led us now to assume that this will just be the tease for Raw and so on and so on and so on. The lantern was in the Extreme Rules poster, so if there's a comeback coming, it feels like it's taking place there. I theorised on the SmackDown review, Cedric, so you've missed this, and why the hell would we talk about this over the desks?
No.
But I theorised that the nerds on Twitter with the weird Photoshops might be onto something. We've all sort of seen Karrion Kross and Braun Strowman and Dexter Lumis come back for the non-kayfabe reason of Triple H wanted them back. What if it really is a new Derek group that Bray Wyatt is putting together, and the White Rabbit was for the Karrion Kross, and there'll be a Braun Strowman-related tease, or there'll be, you know, Alexa Bliss is the light flickering last week, that was hers, and so on. I don't mind this. Like, it's Bray, it's these dorks, if it is a group stable. They're not my guys. None of them are my guys. But that's the subjective versus the objective. I still maintain. And if the first nationals of WWE end up being true for SmackDown, like, there's an objective measure of the success as well. I'd love that this has already worked. The last one on Friday, was it not people got back to the cars and there were things in the windscreen wipers? Again, WWE...
On the windshield.
On the windshield. WWE again playing the stuff in the ad breaks is things that people are sharing on their phones rather than the official accounts doing it themselves. This is absolutely the way to go. And if this ties together all these complete dweebs coming back at the same time, and it was all a Wyatt related purpose, like, fair enough, because this will absolutely satiate a section of your audience that for a long time are willing to spend an awful lot of money on this type of character. So I don't expect a Bray Wyatt thing, because we didn't get one on Friday, but I expect another tease to build to the next tease, and people are enjoying it. And who am I to slag off their nice time?
It depends, because they are dickheads to you if you don't like
them. Yeah.
Total dicks, like little baba. Wee, my brain. Fuck off. Honestly, they're so unreasonable. The most ardent supernatural supporters, their total inability to like fathom why people don't like their thing, I find it just pathetic, truly and utterly pathetic. So I am wanting to begrudge that bad time. And I hope they don't get the Super Bray Wyatt tonight. Okay, I hope that staying up late is desperate for Bray. And he's just not there. And he's just not there. But you know what? They like the teasers more. They like the teasers more than the reality. Because I've listened to Fiend matches in the arenas. No one gives a f***. Sorry about that. I'm making you work overtime. But you know, maybe if Bray worked harder, he would actually be over.
Animations of White Rabbit are way more exciting than a scary monster grabbing a headlock.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I expect more bollocks. More, as Tony Khan on Twitter called it, shallow, weird, esoteric imagery that lacks the true presence of a Sullivan, a Raven, or a Jake.
I hope he lives up to that tweet and never gets involved with it again because he's 0-1 for that esoteric bollocks, isn't he? Yeah.
He's 0-3.
Oh, and 2, am I forgetting?
Original version of the Dark Order.
Oh, yeah.
Nightmare Collective.
And oh,
God, yeah. No, House of Black. Yeah.
Well, I guess that's
some tease will happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's all we've really got to say about it.
Maybe Malakai is the next guy. He would fit the profile of both a Triple H return and a Bray Wyatt gay.
Someone pointed out that, I know they should, like, threaten WWE with everything if this happens. What about Jeff Hardy, so? That was all very easily predictable as well.
Call it a score draw because everybody sucks.
I think that's all we've got to say now for the time being about White Rabbits.
Oh, hi, Stacks.
How are you going? Happy Monday, huh? Back to work.
You've really popped Wilbon today, Stacks. He was buzzing to see you there. So like he knew you were coming.
I didn't know you were coming again. Stacks.
Yes, Edgy.
What are your thoughts on supernatural gimmicks in general?
Not my cup of tea, to be honest. But speaking of rabbits,
I have another question for you. Can I ask you a question, Stacks?
Oh, of course you can. Thank you.
Like, on Supernatural Gimmick, it really doesn't make sense to me when a wrestling character with the power to kill a man would instead just grab a hold. What are your thoughts on wrestling characters that can kill people using wrestling moves?
People in glass houses should go up. That's what I'm going to say about that. I just don't like people walking around with all this fake name bullshit. Anyway, Stacks here.
Is Stacks got any jokes?
Well, why don't you say that, Sidgy? Because I got a little joke for you about a rabbit, huh? What did the rabbit get his girlfriend?
Wait there, Stacks. These usually follow a sort of a pun thing. Yeah. So I would like to guess and be boring. Like a hutch or a carrot.
Carrot,
24 carat gold necklace.
A 14 carat ring, that is correct. Ding, ding, ding. Your joke was probably better than mine.
Stacks, I'm sure you got some more jokes, have you?
You know what I do? What is the name of the rabbit who stole from the rich and gave to the poor?
The actual one.
So it's Robin Hood, obviously.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
They like the bang rabbit, so Throbin Hood.
Rabbit Hood! Not my best one, this.
Have you got any more jokes that are actually good, Stacks?
What is invisible and smells like carrots?
All right, we can get this. Invisible, like trans carrot. Transparent.
Yeah. No carrots.
Rabbit farts.
Bye, Stacks. Are you all right? He's been doing a lot of flying lately.
Yeah, like, I'm not sure he's just checking out some indie dates in the UK just in case.
He's like,
that wasn't very good from Stacks, was it?
He's
is that a Stacks jumping the shark a bit?
That's what we'll find out more tomorrow when he pops back in for the Raw review.
He's still starting to sound a little tired, isn't he? From
all that travel.
What is the deal with all that airline food? I know. Do you think maybe it's like,
he's just sizing up the competition, clearly. Tony D Airlines needs to do a bit of competition research.
Oh, God. I hope he's all right. Cole Carter was in the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
Like
Stacks popped it.
Cole Carter might have been AEW champion.
Yeah. I would have loved to have gotten Stacks thoughts on that. Imagine Cole Carter getting a title shot. Stacks flipping a monitor backstage.
He's done what?
What?
Oh, sorry. Didn't realize you snuck back in.
Hi, Stacks.
Oh, that was, I think he just left. That was him leaving. That was the not the door. I don't know how he got back in.
All right, bye, Stacks.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Right, Sidge, back to Monday Night Raw. Yeah. And the dream team of Kevin Owens and Johnny Gargano taking Alpha Academy. This is a mouthwatering proposition.
It is. We've already seen Gable and Gargano work together. They did so beautifully. Owens and Gable, another great combination. Eh? What I like about this is they are, I think, I've said it before, Triple H is weirdly great at putting units together for the express purpose of it happening at War Games. Now, I think that, and it's good to be able to fantasy book, I've not been able to do this for years, with the Fed, that obviously the five-man bloodline unit has been established. I think that the Kevin Owens, Johnny Gargano duo exists so that they can do Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn stuff during War Games. It's a match that will inevitably get critical praise from prominent quarters, whether people have fundamental problems with how much plunder is involved or what. It's a match that's precision engineered to go, yeah, that was a bit flawed actually, but everyone else is giving it 4 and 3 stars or something. So I think it's a good outlet for Gargano. And I include blood and guts in that, of course. And I think it's an outlet to get Gargano like involved. So I think putting Gargano and Owens together now makes the babyface unit seem a little bit more organic and cohesive. And of course, at the same time, you can sequence Austin Theory's next opponents from Owens to Gargano at the same time. He's thinking about it like an actual picture, like an actual narrative that incorporates lots of different characters and overlapping stories and the like. So I don't really care that much about the results. Gable and Otis at this point are really good prelim comedy guys. I don't need to see any chicanery here at all. I want a nice clean win, and I just want Theory to maybe try and come out, but he gets sort of, he's a geek against two people, so he shouldn't really influence this at all, but keep the thread that he exists there. Maybe after the match, Alpha Academy can like not bear the result and try and beat them down, and then when they got outmatched, that's when Gargano, Theory can come down. Mm-hmm. Then they can do a brawl into the crowd or something like that. But I just like the existence of Owens and Gargano here, because if they can form part of the babyface team, it feels earned that they'd want to go into War Games. I don't know how you'd wrap it into the bloodline, but I just want Owens and Sammy and a bit of sub-elite melodrama in terms of how they interact and how it can build to the WrestleMania thing that a lot of us have in mind.
Mm. And they're going to be all the way over in Alberta, Canada.
Yeah, I like that stupid little detail, but a funny one because it's Gable and Owens. Like, they're the type of characters to pull off a, well, I'll beat you in Canada. Like, it's enough in detail, but they can elevate it specifically. They're the type of wrestlers that can do that. It's a tricky one, this. Like, I know Sid probably thinks I let Triple H off with murder, like, every week, but I'm loath to here because, like, Braun Strowman made really light work of Gable and Otis on SmackDown. And why? This match is going to rule. Like, I've got such high hopes for the quality of this tag match. But the reason, and this goes back 20 years, 20 plus years at this point, why it's sometimes hard to emotionally engage in a standard TV match. Contrast this to the Usos and the Brawling Brutes, a match in which not in a million years would you have projected a title change, but you were given good reason to care about the actual match going into it. You had the brilliant video package with the Usos. You had the genuine sense of momentum that the Brawling Brutes had built up off the back of the Sheamus Gunther match. And just this feeling of, yeah, this is the perfect set, like table setting for a good TV tag match. This is the sort of opposite of that. Otis and Gable have just made like an absolute, like a useless goofball unit by Braun Strowman. So I know Braun's a big guy, but two men should have at least as easy a job with Gable and Otis as Gargano and Owens will expect to. And that's kind of what I've got to do is detach all that and just think and look at the good wrestling and go, whoa, look at all this good wrestling. But that was pretty much what sunk NXT. So I don't think you can just rely on just looking at the good wrestling, as great as I imagine this will be. So I hope there's a way to kind of get them out of that. I think Gargano and Owens will win. I hope they get me on the hook for something by the end, like a near fall. I'm assuming there will be a really hot sequence. But I'm lower on this than I was this time last week because of what we saw on SmackDown. I don't know why Gable noticed. I understand that Braun is currently targeting tag teams and blowing through guys, but I wish that he targeted somebody else because it did feel like they were...
I just beat up some, like, geeks from the local indie school.
There had to be other goofballs when you were setting this up as well. Like, the goofball is an important role, but you... It's despite being a goofball, you can't completely take the piss out of the goofball. Otherwise, like, the goofball loses its value as a goofball.
That's why Chad Gable's matches are so quiet.
Yeah.
Despite being awesome.
Uh-huh. And like Triple H, if he's trying to retrain audiences to enjoy great matches the whole way through rather than just for the finish, he needs to think about like the wrestlers that he's putting in there. A lot of them have been damaged by Vince McMahon, not him. But at the moment, this one's on him. So they've kind of got to work around that a little bit. Theory coming out after the fact. I could see it being more of a 3-on-2 thing. And Theory absolutely decimating Gargano to set up there. Like, he beat him up with the briefcase because last week Gargano dropped it on the balls. And that maybe... Maybe that's folded... Maybe that's folded into Extreme Rules.
What a funny guy, huh?
Like, does it go on the line at Extreme Rules? And that's the hook, for the match for them too at the premium live event.
Do you think you give Gable a live mic just to wind up the locals a little bit before this?
100%.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
They'd be stupid not to.
All day.
Yeah. I'm so excited for him. I think you can make some noise, do you, Canada?
Oh, about a shoosh.
That'll show him up. Rey Mysterio versus Seth Rollins. Rey Mysterio got a lot going on in his life, and Seth Rollins looking forward to the fight pit now, of course.
I can't wait for this. I really hope there's a finish. I really, really hope there's a finish.
I hope there isn't now.
Just
to see your heart broken.
I can't wait for this. This is the sort of match that is for me... as a fan, entirely dependent on the form and the storylines of the wrestlers involved. Seth Rollins versus Rey Mysterio is that type of pairing that if you're watching like a nonsensical, rubbish Vince McMahon WWE, or like Seth Rollins is in the middle of a babyface run and it's like, Rey, I'd love to put the title up against you. I respect you. I couldn't care less. I've seen a million matches like this and I'll see a million more. But just where both the characters are right now and in the form they're in ring, I cannot wait. I think the match will absolutely bang. Seth's doing this almost every week, like, you know, as a weekly pro wrestler, it's gone beyond, wow, Seth's having these really great moments when he's given the opportunity to. He's pretty much doing it as norm at this point, whilst Rey Mysterio is almost there still, miraculously. Stem cells up out the ass, like his knee's better than ever, almost. And they're both involved in storylines that I'm hugely invested in. Seth's got the fight pit hanging over him. The Dominic Mysterio stuff, as I said last week, I'm just so on the hook for. I hope they get another week out of these Edmonton fans copying what they saw on television last week and wanting to be a part of it and booing
Canada for that sort of thing.
Booing whatever it is that Dominic Mysterio does. Rey Mysterio, it's that WWE thing that you should hate. Of like, I'm so, like, it's almost looking at your hand stuff. I'm so conflicted right now. But Rey, from behind a mask, continues to be able to project that. If it wasn't him playing the dad of Dominic Mysterio, the angle might not be as hot as it is. I think one of the reasons why it's working is because people will back Rey Mysterio till the end. He's like a ride or die guy for generations of fans that seeing him being betrayed by his son is breaking everybody's hearts. Like, I've got real high hopes for this, and I hope they don't screw it up with something really lazy and tropey for the finish.
Well, on that note, what's the other match that's going to get previewed?
Matt Riddle enters the Dark Void.
Not my words, the words of WWE.com. That's Riddle versus Damian Priest.
But we could have played, did it against the copy, and he f***ed it up. Sorry, I'm making you work overtime with this swearing. I'm sorry. I think that neither of these matches, I think it's going to be three non-finishes, right? Or three terrible finishes. And it's going to be Bayley and Io get a terrible finish. And I think these two are going to form a pair of terrible finishes that next week, which is the go-home, I believe, yep, for Extreme Rules, I think this is all gearing towards Riddle and Rey versus Seth and Finn or Priest. Mm-hmm. So you can, like, basically...
Riddle was, like, arm around the shoulder with Rey last week, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I'll get you through it. So
they have tried to bring it all together. I think they're bringing it together in a way that just prolongs each thing without really advancing any sort of interest in each thing, but it just neatly ties together so that you can get a preview of the pay-per-view matches via the tag team match next week. And I think you'll get, depending on which comes first, if Rollins Ray opens a show, great choice for an opener, then Seth, no, like Riddle comes to interfere. Or if they had it the right way around, it would be Priest versus Riddle first, and then Seth interferes, and then vice versa, Riddle gets his revenge because they hate each other so much, guys, that they can't stop interfering in each other's matches because they just need to get their goddamn hands on each other for the fight pit. So I think
you might be right there, yeah.
I think that's how it's going to happen.
Got a spot for
weeks,
you.
In 2 weeks together.
Well, are you saying tag team match next week? It's like 3 hour Raw. Like, what if they do that thing where it's like, should we have it tonight? All right then.
Yeah, that's even worse, isn't it?
Got a spot for you.
Is it physically impossible?
It's not. It's actually the most simple spot I've ever booked. And we know they listen, so there's plenty of time to put this in. Seth Rollins versus Rey Mysterio. This match better have a bloody eye poke in it. That's all I'm saying.
Of course. They should. They might, yeah. Like, Seth Rollins is kind of banter at the minute, so he might do something along those lines.
He's going to point at his eye repeatedly and go, yeah. Laughing at it, yeah. Oh, eye stuff, yeah. But, like, the eye can be a body part within the wrestling, the eye, and it should be. Like, Seth remembers, and yeah. They should have loads of fun with that. Preposterous rock bottom for all of our professional lives.
Roll to the outside and go near the stairs. Good.
Don't forget personal.
Yeah.
Don't forget our personal lives. Going to rock bottom.
I do like the idea of him dragging him near the stairs. I'm not fucking going near them again.
That's good. Aye. Play with that. Absolutely.
But yes, Riddle is entering the Dark Void
against Damian Priest. I think Siege might have called this, to be honest.
Yeah, now he said it, that does, it just, it's so easy to visualise, it's hard to imagine it going any other way, isn't it? Do Riddle and Priest have, like, pretty good chemistry in NXT, or have I just imagined this? But then it wouldn't have made sense for them to overlap, because Priest was mainly a babyface. I just feel like when he was still working heel, he, like, had a good match with, maybe I've just invented that.
I think they've overlapped.
They were NXT together for so long, that, like, it just feels like two ships docking. I don't know, maybe not, but, like, I think this will be good. This sounds awful on Priest. When I say he can be carried, I don't mean he's some sort of lumbering giant, but typically his matches have a ceiling, and then every now and then somebody carries him higher than that, and you think, you do have that in you. Riddle's that guy. Another guy who's just in, like, and maybe not career form, but he's on such a great run at the moment that I wouldn't put it past it. Even if it's going to this, yeah, set up the generic tag match, there is a Kip Fry type vibe amongst the roster at the moment. It's like, imagine they're all on bonuses to have the best match of the night. They all seem to really want to do that. It seems to suggest, like, good morale in the locker room, or like that kind of perfect Jim Ross style talent relations competitiveness where they all want to go out there and be like, I'm the best, and I'm the best. Triple H is going to try and push the people that prove themselves to be the best, so it behooves me to be the best every week. And, like, if nothing else, I think they'll try and have a good match.
I really want to know if Dominic Mysterio's gone on a night out with Damian Priest yet. That's all I care about this week.
Do you remember when, and like, AEW is typically so much better than this, you almost didn't want them to go down this route, but they were doing the hangover bits with the Inner Circle. Like, that would work rubbish, that would work with the Judgment Day. Yeah. Like, it wasn't, like, the Inner Circle were funnier than hangover bits, were like stolen copy from films. It's like, now you're more creative doing wrestling stuff. Judgment Day are not. So, like, yeah. I want to see, like, how a night out ended up with, like, Dominic Mysterio being terrified of a tiger and Rhea Ripley having to, like, get the tiger under control.
Oh, get Dominic Mysterio face tattoo. Oh, my God.
Dominic Mysterio face tattoo, yeah.
You need something.
A teardrop. A teardrop. People that, like, kill people in prison. Dominic Mysterio.
You need something, like.
I also like the idea that when you pitch that, for some reason, despite the fact that it doesn't have with two adult men in it, but because of the baby in The Hangover, Damien Priest with Dominic hanging off him. What's it called? The little carrier. Things.
Rhea Ripley with Dominic and a baby Bjorn.
That's what we need to see. So what do you reckon? Riddle wins?
Yes.
Or doesn't it just get struck down?
I don't think it's going to get. Yeah. I don't think care. That's the key. We make a good point here. I have several on this podcast. I don't care who wins or loses yet.
Yeah.
Earnestly. I care about some of the characters. I think some of the matches will be good. I don't care who wins or loses on TV because I know it's all going towards somewhere where it might matter a bit more on a Saturday or Sunday, which again is better than where it never used to matter then either.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah, the premium live events were good in spite of television under Vince. Now they've got to try and be as good because of the television. That's one of Triple H's like.
I don't think they're quite there yet. Like, yeah. I don't care who wins yet. But I don't think it means anything because I think there'll be, like, the next week, things will get corrected and they'll get their chance at revenge. There's no stakes to the matches. There's no importance. There's no ramifications.
Mm. Well, I'd be intrigued to see what happens tonight on Raw. Let us know your thoughts, your predictions at WhatCultureWWE on Twitter. Watch there. You can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at...
M. Sidgwick. We should have guessed what gimmick match Miz and Loomis is going to go to.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're going to do. They need to do something like it. You can't go to a straight singles. Not just for within the context of the storyline, but because I don't want to see Dexter Loomis in a match. or the Miz, for that matter.
Yeah. I forgot to ask about that tonight. More creepy stuff, innit? More home invasions.
I'd hate it.
I can't wait. I miss a bit.
Hey, hiding underneath the ring last week, wasn't it? Miss TV and that.
I like a little bit of crap in my fed. That's what I want out of it.
Mm. Well, let us know your thoughts on that as well on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. You can find me on there at Adam Wilborn. WhatCulture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where our reviews of SmackDown and Rampage Grand Slam are up right now. And our review of this show, complete with a 5-star review where we review something short, crap, and wrestling related instead of something on Monday Night Raw.
God awful. Come on, get it right.
Just boring sometimes. yes, if you want to suggest that, WhatCulture Wrestling. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or just leave us a 5-star review on Spotify.
Screenshot.
And screenshot the 5 stars and then email it to me, adam.wilborn@whatculture.com. But for now, this has been the Raw Preview. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.